There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Where's my motherfucking janties at?
What is a janty?
Janty, you saw this on Twitter yesterday? It's
no.
The new fucking, it's, oh, man, it's the new everything, dude.
Is it the new Gucci?
You're so out of it. What? You gotta get into the culture.
I don't know.
Like I am. You're out. You're out, man.
I'm out. I'm happily out. I like to be out.
I'm in the party. You're outside the party jerking off in a bush.
Well, honestly.
Staring through the windows.
Whatever.
Me, but I'm in the center of that party. And I'm fucking pouring the punch. And everyone's like, put a little extra whiskey in there. I'm like, I didn't bring it for you. I brought it for my fucking family.
Well, if you pour
I brought whiskey for my family.
If you pour the whiskey in the punch, it's going to now become communal whiskey. That's the way that works. You can't yell at people for having the punch that you have spiked. You spiked the punch.
I do whatever I want to do. It's my party. Not really. I just
right,
took it
Miley.
Over when I arrived.
Okay,
no, janties
Miley.
Are these new. They are. It seems to be. I don't know yet. They're done by this company. I forget. It's like
what are they? What is
culture. It? It think jean. Think jeans plus panties. They
no,
are jean panties.
So they're jean shorts.
They are janties.
All right. This
they
is
are brief cut. Jorts.
No, I don't. This is Side Stories. I'm Ben Kissel. That's Henry Zebrowski. Now, Henry, you actually do wear short shorts. You're like the John Stockton of podcasts. And I have a feeling that you might purchase some of these janties, which seems to me like something that doesn't need to exist.
I could do whatever I want.
Yeah, I know you can.
With my third of the business's money, which is technically also kind of fun, is that every single time I spend money, it's like I'm also spending a little portion of your money.
Yep, that's right. One could say we're tethered together.
If I go and I spend $315.
There's $315?
Yes.
Why?
The structure.
To cover up.
I actually don't know why. I'm going to say, Kissel, that is where it also loses me because it's less material than a full jean because a full jean can cost upwards to like $150 to $200
sure.
if you're getting fancy.
Yeah.
But that these janties, I guess it's all about the style. The idea is it's a high-rise, high-hip-cut jean short that it looks sort of like if a Canadian had an adult diaper.
All right, well, now you're selling me on it. I do
See?
Like the Canadian tuxedo. Well, speaking of...
You do.
I do. I know I do.
You do it all the time. This is how we dress. Nothing but denim. Because denim is now is rugged,
no.
and it's comfortable, and it's versatile.
Honestly, what denim became was stretchy. Because Old Navy, they know their brand. Technically, I have gained 30 pounds, but I have not gone up. I'm still a 38 waist. Because
Be
Old
careful.
Navy is just like... Keep them stretchy.
Keep them stretchy.
And so
keep
I'm like, well,
confidence.
I'm not even gaining weight. I'm still a 38, 36. I'm fine.
You be careful with the Old Navy shit because straight up, it is your pants are under pressure and they might pop.
Oh, I know.
Like, they are.
That's
the,
why they're
adult,
stretchy.
The Old Navy is not built to be stretched to its maximum capacity.
No, I know.
Your fucking ass is going to fall out.
It's not going to fall out. I barely have
a You remember at the end of The Great Outdoors when they shot that bear in the ass?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be you.
That was funny.
That's going to be you.
Well, speaking of denim and speaking of fashion, one of our favorite guys is back in the news. I guess favorite is a loose... He's an American character, and had he done nothing wrong... this man's music would live on, and it still will live on forever, but I think it might be seen as a little bit better. This man's name, of course, is Joe Exotic, and the update here is he has been found guilty on murder for hire and wildlife charges.
He is guilty.
He is.
I guess he defended himself.
Oh, he went the Bundy route, did he?
He did. So I know that he spoke upon his own behalf, is what they said, which I think is very an interesting way of putting it, saying like a man who represents himself in court has a fool for a lawyer.
I know that.
A federal jury on Tuesday convicted a former Oklahoma gubernatorial candidate and zookeeper.
Oh, yeah.
In an attempted murder for hire plot. Jurors returned the guilty verdict following 6 days of testimony in the trial of Joseph Allen Maldonado Passage,
Ooh.
Who's 56, who was accused of trying to arrange the killing of Florida animal sanctuary founder Carol Baskin, who criticized his treatment of animals. Baskin wasn't harmed. That's the big thing here. That, but he tried to say all of it was funny social media, like getting a rise
funny
out of Carol.
Funny banter. Yeah, so he conspired to kill Carol Baskin, and of course he was also found guilty of killing five tigers and selling and offering to sell tiger cubs. But again, Henry, can we just play some of the music to remind us that Joe Exotic, he also has a heart. He also has love.
We all do. And you know what? We've all made maybe series of dozens of mistakes in our lives.
Sure.
You know, how many whole wasted years to booze and to kinky gay sex and murdering tigers have we all done?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's not the problem. I think it really is the murdering of the tigers. I think the booze and the sex, I think he was just having fun there.
That's normal.
Although, actually, wasn't there a theory that he killed his fiancée?
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
He is a complicated man.
He is.
They don't call him Joe Domestic.
No.
They call him Joe Exotic. And let's hear a little bit of, again, remind us of, like, we were all once boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to the glory days of, I guess we started covering him about 5 months ago, maybe 4 months ago.
So back to I think with the beginning of this podcast of Side Stories.
All right, let's go back to 2018. Listen to a little Joe Exotic.
Drunk and lonely, sitting by the phone.
Oh, I love this song.
No one to call, no one to hold.
Oh, Joe.
Should I write a letter?
Maybe don't know, man.
Take that chance.
Take it, baby.
Last
we all have pain.
To you, tore it up so fast.
Oh. Just picture them just covering each other in mayonnaise.
Slamming asses. Oh, yeah.
Having fun.
Just 69 in each other while a tiger dies in a cage behind
them. Oh.
Everybody's got a poet's heart deep down inside.
I know.
No matter what your crimes are.
I know.
Hitler loved painting pictures of bell towers and fields of lilies.
Mm-hmm.
I could grow a garden.
Oh, speaking of fields of lilies. That's a high garden.
Give you all
it is.
Roses so you could watch them die.
Wow, his boyfriend is fucking intense looking.
Oh, yeah.
Brighter than the sky. Put it on your finger. You could
God, I'm getting so hard hearing this. I don't know if we could show all of this. Will we be sued by him? I imagine mostly this will be taken down pretty soon.
Maybe. All right, one more verse and we can. Here it comes.
You were my true love.
Oh.
The one that's supposed
nice hat.
A million miles later, still stranded in the past.
All right, there it is. Joe Exotic, you are my first love. And once again, I am not being satirical. I love that song. I love his voice. And that song moved me. I almost have a tear. Very,
disgusting.
Very powerful. No, it's...
You're a disgusting
he's
person.
He's a great musician. And honestly, other than the killing of the tigers, leave the tigers alone. You're supposed to take care of tigers. And of course, the arranging to kill this other woman. Although...
He arranged to kill a woman.
No, but he did say...
Yes, he did. No, Kissel.
But...
If you read it. Because... So he said, no, it all kept to social media. He never truly wanted her dead. However, Maldonado Passage offered $10,000 to an undercover FBI agent to kill Baskin during a December 2017 meeting that was recorded and played for the jury.
Well,
in the recording, he told the agent, just like follow her into a mall parking lot and just cap her and drive off.
All right, so that's not his best
work. Is that
work.
A bit?
No, but Maldonado passed.
And then
this is what he said,
that meeting.
Henry, point
and
counterpoint.
And then he went on John Oliver's Last Week Tonight.
Hiding in plain sight. You see, Maldonado Passage also said, Joe Exotic also said he was just playing along because he believed he was being set up and wanted to gather information. That is Joe Exotic's excuse or defense that he was playing along to gather information to protect Miss Baskins. It all makes sense, Henry.
I will say it does. Man, it's always the most complicated story. That's always the one that's true.
Yes.
Always. And it, I always think it's also great in court to take the Pete Townsend defense. It seems to really, it really always holds.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, I was just researching crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no. No one asked you to do this.
No.
I don't think Mrs. Baskin would ask you to say, hey, Joe Exotic, you know how we hate each other online? Yep, but I'm as gay as a black tiger. I mean, like, no, I know that. But just remember, can you find out how easy it would be to kill me?
Yes, and then
like,
Joe,
she sent him out to do it.
And then Joe Exotic, he put on his mullet thinking hair, and he said, yeah, you know what? I am going to figure this out. He went to the FBI. The FBI all worked. If anything, my understanding, and hey, you can say whatever you want about me. Maybe I'm being hyperbolic. The FBI are the people who wanted to kill Miss Baskin. They're the ones who got all the cash. They were the ones who hired the hitman. The FBI should be on the trial. The FBI should be on the stand. We need to talk about the deep state trying to kill these animal rights activists. If I was Joe Exotic and I was his lawyer, that's what I would have done.
Do you need a drunk defense attorney? Call Benjamin Grant Kissel, because he will yell at any judge as long as he is inside a courtroom.
Honestly.
And I'll tell you what, all you got to do is pay him in literal peanuts.
Whatever. I love peanuts. Skinny Dennis, my favorite bar, is free peanuts. That's my favorite
part
about
it.
But
you are talking about a dangerous line of thinking.
Well, what I am talking about is a defense that gets Joe Exotic out of lockup, out of prison, because let's be honest, a sensitive soul like Mr. Joe Exotic, other than, again, killing the Tigers and setting up this murder for hire, again, the FBI.
All of the things he's guilty of.
Yeah,
all the things that he's guilty of, yeah. Besides all of that,
besides
Joe Exotic's a fun guy.
He is going.
Absolutely.
He's just too sensitive for prison. He's going to, I mean, honestly, it's
going
to.
He is not. He is not. He is going to do well in prison. Well, honestly, I think he's going to do very well in prison. I think he probably could go there for a little while just to kind of get his head straight a little bit.
Well,
get ready for that 2020 run. Because if he can get his shit together by then, maybe he'll be out for a good time. Because they said he could get up to 20 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But I am not sure if he'll get the full book at him because he's just too much fun. And they know they need to keep him in the general population because we are clamoring for more Joe Exotic.
And, of course, you know, it took... When Johnny Cash really, now obviously Johnny Cash was never behind the bars. He got to sing in prisons for fun more. You know, Joe Exotic, he's going to have some years to get some prison grizzle. He's already a great country music star. I wouldn't be surprised. He comes out of lockup and he's got some prison tunes that shake you to your boots. And he's the next Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, it's him straight up being like, I don't even drop the soap, I throw the soap.
He threw the soap.
And it's have a song called Throwing the Soap.
Which I would listen to. And that's, by the way, an epidemic in the U.S. prison system that should not be joked about, Mr. Zabrowski.
I'll do whatever I gotta fucking do.
All right.
I also understand low-hanging fruit is my orchard. That's where I belong. That's what I do.
It's also sort of
that's where I live in.
Another euphemism for dropping the soap. But there we go. All right.
I had a couple low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
Now, I'll talk about a second. I don't even want to talk about briefly, but we should cover it. The Thomas Cocorella.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thomas Cocorellis, who was a member of the Chicago Ripper crew. He's been released from prison.
Yes.
Which is because he was convicted for one of the murders. I believe it was because he is mentally handicapped. I'm not quite sure. They were trying to release him last year, but it was difficult to release him because they didn't have any housing for him. But I am only just peripherally aware of the Chicago Ripper crew.
Right.
I know that it was a 4-man team.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it was cult-like murders that involved almost, I believe there was 17 victims, so 17 women, one dude that was shot, it seemed to be just for fun.
Mm.
They fell apart from the inside, sort of kind of like the Hillside Stranglers,
mm-hmm.
where the two of them, kind of the infighting is what made the group fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Beatles. But I don't
really
want to say that they are like the... I'd say they're more of the Traveling Wilburys of serial killers.
Oh, my goodness. Supergroups never work, by the way. Isn't that weird? Supergroups never work.
They never really do.
So strange.
because it's hard to put them all in one room. But I'll tell you what, I love seeing Jeff Lynne sing anytime. Right. And I think he's blind. I'm not sure.
Huh. Did not know that.
He never takes his sunglasses off.
Okay.
But I want to come back and talk about this story when we do the Chicago Rippers on last podcast.
Sure.
Because this requires a big deep dive. There's a lot of shit here.
A lot of
that
stuff
we need
so,
to get through.
Yeah, what we do know now, just again, as Henry was said, just kind of skimming the topic a little bit. Cocorellis, he's now 58 years old. So he was quite young when these murders occurred. I believe he was the youngest. He pleaded guilty in 1982 to the murder of a 21-year-old. Her name was Lori Ann Borowski. She's out of Elmhurst. She was abducted and slain while walking to work in broad daylight. On Friday, members of her family said they will spend the rest of their lives looking over their shoulder. According to Lorraine Borowski, I'm assuming it's her mother, she says, he can find us in any second. She goes on to say, I'm afraid for my family and my community. He does have to register as soon as he finds a place. He's got to register and be like, I'm here, everyone. Chicago Ripper is here. So
and everyone's going to be like, yay.
I don't know what he's
so
kind of,
excited.
So there is a lot of controversy because of the gruesomeness of the crimes. But it seems as if he was perhaps he remind. What's the we never found the guy, Brendan Dashy, was it, for my Making a Murderer? Brendan,
I believe so. It's something like that. But he was involved with the crimes. Now they're just trying to say that they are trying to give him time served.
Right.
Because
right.
he's a little bit slow.
That's
and he's
saying.
In jail, and they're trying to like, which I mean, I don't know what you say about that. I don't know what my opinion is on.
Well,
that.
these are the hard subjects. You know, this is why criminal justice is so difficult to talk about, to discuss policies about, because you know this. I understand the family of this woman is like, maybe he shouldn't come out because we're still alive, and I'm horrified that he's a crazy maniac who killed
our
daughter.
Well, he was
daughter,
a part of a group of murderers
right.
that were it was heavily premeditated. They were highly sadistic. They did horrible sexual mutilations mixed with torture. It's a rough story.
Right.
So the idea that he is let go is very difficult. It's sort of like anytime one of the Manson family
right.
comes up for parole, where it's really just the straight up severity of the crime
right.
that wigs people out, which I understand. And I don't, and again, I don't really know how I feel.
And
like,
also,
I mean, he's been in jail for 40 years, so he's been cool in it. I don't think it's good for him to be out of jail. I'm not even talking about for society. I'm talking about for his fucking ass. I feel like after you've been so institutionalized, what do you do on the outside?
I don't know what skill sets. Apparently, he did graduate from like the high school type programs they have there. And according to the prison officials, he's been a model prisoner, and they say he's completely rehabilitated. And again, that is the point of our prison system, is to rehabilitate. So in some ways, you could see this as a success story if he is able to go and be a functioning member of society and give back. His brother, I do believe, was put to death. A few
yes.
years back, so
he was the last person
yes.
Executed by the state of Illinois. My question is what is rehabilitated when you have been in jail for 40 years? Like, how are you rehabilitated to go back into society after you? I mean, you have gotten used to this world. You've gotten used to prison. You've gotten used to the lockdown, and you've created a functioning life on the inside. Doesn't everything fucking change?
Well, as we talked about,
leave?
As we talked about when we were driving through the beautiful state of Ohio,
beautiful,
what? Beautiful.
What a beautiful drive
really
between
was.
Cleveland and Cincinnati. It's not.
It's not bad. Honestly, the Cincinnati
awful.
Skyline was very pretty when you turn that corner on the highway and you see everything.
It was a surprise.
That was a surprise. But as you mentioned, Henry, the Waffle House. Waffle House has hired a lot of ex-cons to be chefs and stuff like that. So there are opportunities.
And I've never had a bad meal at a Waffle House.
And you never had a bad meal. So there you go. That's possible. Perhaps Thomas Cocorellis will be making your waffle and fries or whatever the hell. I've never been to a Waffle House. So
I hope so. Man, I really hope so. I want to talk about this case very, very quickly, very perfunctorily, but I want to go through this because there's a lot of moving parts here.
Okay.
So in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, a woman by the name of Barbara Rogers has been found guilty of third-degree murder.
Hmm.
She was accused of shooting and killing her boyfriend because of his involvement in an alien cult.
Okay.
A man named Stephen Mineo belonged to basically a Facebook group that was managed by a woman named Sherry Schreiner that kept a sort of massive kind of Facebook messaging system, talking with people. She had several podcasts, recently has passed on to the other side.
Okay.
And her job, what she basically was essentially a group that she had founded saying that she received messages saying that she was trying to protect the world from the reptilian onslaught with the help of our beautiful President Donald Trump, who's the only one that can uncover the problem inside of the White House. But basically, Stephen Mineo was an acolyte of Sherry Schreiner,
okay,
who was a difficult woman, who at some point... They all were together, right? So they would go on these things called Oregon missions, where Sherry Schreiner would get these visions.
Uh-huh.
And she would send various people out to create these Oregon batteries, right, to essentially flood areas with positive energy.
Oh,
because
okay.
That's how you get rid of reptilians, right? There's a lot of stuff to unpack here.
So like the opposite of what Alex Jones does. They were trying to spread positivity and love and try to kill the reptilians with kindness. Is that the approach that they were taking?
I mean, it was getting pretty intense, especially when you look at the wall of documents she created, which is stuff like, because she takes everything from the Book of Revelation.
Okay.
So we have a Teach Me How to Pray, which we say here, and then they say Planet Rehab, how'd you get rid of the super soldiers? Because they say they started randomly naming people as super soldiers that need to be eliminated.
Like
that were people that were members of the deep state. There were human transplants of the reptilians that would essentially fight for the reptilians. They were traitors to our kind.
Like John Wick or Jason Bourne. It seems like they get a lot of their ideas from kind of hackier action movies. Not that there's anything wrong with John Wick or Jason Bourne. I kind of like both of those. Yeah, I like both of those movies. But
if you look at her websites, I'm trying to find the actual. So Stephen Mineo work with her quite a bit, because the idea was that you have to go, because Argon Waller, so we have here, you have to defeat them with these, you have to defeat the incoming aliens with these ether energy orgone blasters, where they teach you how to build them, and it requires a lot of aluminum and weird like chemicals and shit. It's like it's not healthy.
Like,
so Stephen Mineo was like her acolyte. They used to hang out late out on Facebook and talk, and eventually she started dating a woman.
Okay.
Barbara Rogers. And what Sherry Schreiner told him was that Barbara Rogers was a reptilian and was going to kill him. She was a psychic vampire, in her words.
Interesting. So they were making have you ever been to Tony Bartlett's Robot World in Wisconsin Dells?
No.
It sounds like they were making one of those. It's a lot of aluminum, really not functioning robots, not nearly as nefarious as Marty. Thanks for all the Marty photos, by the way, and all that. And by the way, someone just sent me a message saying that one employee did try to stab Marty, and it looks like she's facing serious jail time. So I apologize if I inspired that Marty assassination attempt, although I do hate Marty, and if you do see one, throw water on it.
We have to stop asking people to kill Martys. We have to stop, because this is the shit that happens. She told Mineo, your girlfriend's a psychic vampire.
Okay.
And he was just like, you don't know her. You don't know her, right? Because this is what it corrupts people into. It's this weird high school scenario, but everybody's fucking 44.
Right,
so
right.
They leave. It eventually starts this massive flame war between Barbara Rogers, Stephen Mineo, and the Sherry Schreiner group. Where it starts with Sherry Schreiner taking a picture of Barbara Rogers she took up a picture of a steak tartare where Barbara Rogers was at a restaurant, and she was like, steak tartare. And Sherry Schreiner's like, look at this reptilian bitch. she's eating raw meat. Only reptilians want to eat raw meat.
That's not,
right?
that's not true. Steak tartare is great, other than the
it's
place
delicious.
We went. What was it, Cleveland? One of the worst restaurants we've
I don't
ever
want
been.
To talk about. No, never go to that fucking, what was that called? The Greenhouse Tavern? What was that place called? Literally the worst meal I've ever had in my fucking life.
And I'm like, I think I'll get the raw fish. Or I was like, I'll get the raw meat here at this place. And then we went to another place and they're like, oh yeah, they got a bunch of rats in the basement of that place. I'm like, well, I'm really happy I went with the tartare option.
But slowly but surely, all of this shit worked into Stephen Mineo's mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to put Stephen Mineo, unfortunately.
Whoa.
Let's say we're all, you and me are operating at a 7.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put him at a solid 4.
Okay.
And well, so he explained to Barbara Rogers, there's something going on inside of my mind. Uh-huh. I am in the center of a war of these two opposing forces. So I guess one night, Rogers and Mineo, they were out at a nearby bar in Coolbog Township, or Cuba.
Cuba.
Until 2 a.m., Rogers says the couple had a few drinks, but they weren't drunk. And once they got home, the victim suggested they go into the woods behind their house and shoot his gun.
Now, I have to say this, though. Henry, quick question. We're in Coolbaugh Township. It's 2 a.m. How much credibility do you give to the idea that they were somehow not drunk? There
I
is
give
no
absolutely
way.
Zero credibility.
They were
not shithouse hammered.
They were hammered. Now, I think
they
everyone else is also hammered, so I don't think that they realized that they were that hammered. You know, whenever you're really drunk, and like maybe you get too drunk at a brunch, and then you're like, ah, oh, shit, I have to go run an errand, and then you find yourself in a Old Navy or a Barnes & Noble or a Trader Joe's, and you realize you are so hammered.
Dude, we saw it in Cincinnati. Cincinnati was the perfect example of a bunch of people just out on a Wednesday being like, I'm not drunk, but it's like 1:30 in the morning and everybody has to go to work. It was like
everyone.
A whole group of office people. Yes, exactly. But everybody, you view yourself being like, well, I'm not him. And it's just a guy who is upside down, up to his shoulders in a toilet, you know, like just like with his feet doing a handstand up against
right.
the wall. So they go back inside the house after shit hammered, just shooting at trees. Rogers claimed that they were in the bedroom when Stephen Mineo put the gun to his own head, wrapped her hands around the weapon, and told her to pull the trigger. According to investigators, Rogers called 911 to report the shooting. She told dispatchers, my boyfriend had a gun. He told me to hold it here and press the trigger, and oh my God, he's dead.
And oh my God, he's dead. That is
but she said she didn't know the gun was loaded.
Okay.
Even though they were just shooting it. And
all
she
right.
said it was a horrible accident. Now, Sherry Schreiner continued to go on to fucking roast this woman on her own show, calling her a psychic vampire bitch and trying to explain about how, like, that's how it shows her psychic powers are super attuned and how she has been, she has warded off assassins time and time again.
Okay.
If you really want to have a nice, like, confusing listen, go to SherryShriner.com and listen to one of her 5 podcasts, because she has 5 different podcasts all ranting off the same fucking horseshit. But she is building a network, and if only she had lived, she could have had it purchased by Spotify.
Absolutely. They're spending $500 million to acquire podcast networks. Coming up this year.
You could really pick it up. You could really get some stuff. She wrote a number of books called Interview with the Devil was one. One was called Aliens on the Internet. Another one called Bible Codes Revealed, which she stole from the History Channel. But she has a lot of shit to say. She didn't foresee her own death by heart disease.
That's very bizarre. Only a doctor can do that, I guess. All right, interesting.
I guess so.
Well, there's that little story, and I guess we'll have a sentencing at some point, so we'll probably have an update in the near-ish future. You know, the prisons or the justice system works a little slow, but we'll see.
But she has got, if you go to her YouTube account's really fun. Like, it has, fun titles like When Clones Malfunction, The Fakes Among Us, Trump versus China Gate, Trump and UN Gate.
Oh, a lot of gates.
A lot of gates, each one, and she is just popping off. But she will talk about Barbara Rogers a great deal. She does not like Barbara Rogers.
It doesn't sound like
she felt that Barbara Rogers had stolen, because to her, Stephen Mineo was one of her children.
Okay. So this is sort of like a Entertainment Tonight for internet quacks. There's a little celebrity feud going on here.
also, this is just the fucking, which is what happens on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
It's what happens. Everybody curdles. Why does this happen every time with these groups, the Facebook groups and the message boards? I know people are lonely and you want to make friends. I totally get that the internet relationships can be just as real if you can pan them into real life relationships. Well, but why does it turn to fucking murder?
All right. Well, we're not going to solve that here. That's a whole nother can of worms.
Fix it. You solve it.
I'll fix it. All right. So that's a quick little tale there. Very interesting. We have reptilians. We have Meridir. We have heart disease.
But every one of her websites go back to orgoneblasters.com to build these orgone.
I don't know.
Why we need orgone. I get asked all the time. This is an essay by her. Why do we need orgone by Sherry Schreiner?
Why?
I get asked all the time. Why should we make orgone? It's the same question I keep asking myself until I realize why, kept leading me to it, so I could protect myself and others without having to constantly stay alert, without ever taking a break from all my enemies constantly trying to attack and kill me.
Isn't it interesting that her life is so much more boring than she wants it to be? That's all that is. There are no enemies.
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
All right. Well, speaking of, well, I guess it's not really a segue to this, but drama students. Henry was a drama student. And a lot of people say, oh, the theater kids.
Drama school never stops.
Drama school never stops. A lot of people say, oh, the theater kids, they're not violent. They just like to play act. You know, they're out there. They're not drinking the booze at the bars. But in reality, theater kids are into sexual intercourse parties.
You literally did. You don't think that theater kids didn't drink?
No, I know what they do.
Drink, and everybody had orgies.
That's what I'm saying. Sexual intercourse parties. That's all the theater kids do. It's like a bizarre horny nunnery. I mean, it's strange. But this drama student, he allegedly stabbed two classmates while acting out a scene from The Butterfly Effect. A University of Hartford drama student allegedly stabbed two of his classmates at around 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. Police were dispatched to the college after receiving reports of two people stabbed. A spokesman for the Hartford police told People magazine, so you can trust it. This is People. When they arrived, officers found two young men suffering from stab wounds in a dorm room. Both victims were taken to St. Francis Hospital, one listed in critical but stable condition, and the other was listed in stable condition. Following the discovery, the institution was placed on lockdown, and this dude was arrested. He's a 20-year-old. His name is Jake Washer, and he was found in a wooded area south of the university. This is according to the police. They say the suspect was acting out a scene from a movie in which a person or persons get stabbed, at which point he began to stab both victims before fleeing on foot.
So we got this here. This is, if the Washington Post also does a good breakdown of it. When the University of Hartford students gathered at an on-campus apartment Sunday, they were there to work on a class assignment, filming a stabbing scene from a movie, according to a copy of a police report obtained.
Can we say that's a strange assignment? Can we just say that's a strange assignment for the teacher to be like, find a stabbing scene and film it?
I think this all starts with fucking Washer. This was maybe sort of planned.
Okay.
I don't think that the assignment was to film a stabbing scene.
Oh,
I think it
okay.
was to film a scene from a movie. But what began as a reenactment took a real-life turn when one of the students, 21-year-old Jake Washer, allegedly attacked two of his peers with a kitchen knife because he was into his character and acted a little too hard. One person who was stabbed has since been discharged from the hospital while the other remains in intensive care. But I mean, because what this is, University of Hartford. Now, this is at Hartford, though, right? What is this? Not Harvard.
No, this is Hartford, Connecticut.
I don't understand. Oh, he didn't even go after the fucking actors. Armed with what one witness described as a 6 or 7 inch long kitchen knife, Washer allegedly went after the project's director, a 21-year-old male, stabbing him in the chest and the arm when a 19-year-old student in the room yelled at Washer to stop. The reported alleges that he turned his attention to the male classmate, who then stabbed him. So it wasn't even like the guy he was supposed to stab.
No.
And he just started stabbing a director.
And of course, I don't think that film students or drama students usually act out Ashton Kutcher movies, but this indeed is that the butterfly effect. There is no like other version of it than the Ashton Kutcher movie.
I do like, yes. Now, I like how each one says butterfly effect. The Ashton Kutcher vehicle. Being like, oh, that one?
I love it. So a different witness who was cooking in the dorm room during the alleged incident told police that they heard screams coming from the 21-year-old's bedroom. When they went to see with a commotion, they allegedly saw a 6 to 7 inch knife in the 19-year-old's chest. So he took this very seriously. Washer was taken into custody. He's being held on $1 million bail. When Washer was found in the woods after fleeing the scene, police claim he said to them, that, quote, he was curious what it would be like to stab someone. And I guess that's what it's like.
Just know this. If you're in an acting conservatory and the guy who is obviously the weird dude of the class, because a lot of times you don't get to choose who your scene partner is going to be.
Oh, no.
It's like a sign to you. But if he pitches like, hey, I've got an idea. Let's do this scene where I fucking kill you in it. Don't do it.
Don't do the scene, absolutely.
Because
not.
There's many other ways to do the scene. There's many other scenes to do.
Well, you just got to make sure it's a rubber knife. You got to grab the knife, rubber, make sure it's rubber, or one of those knives that like got the spring, so it kind of goes into the handle there, not into your chest. So, the University of Hartford campus community. This is a statement from the university. The University of Hartford campus community is deeply saddened by the serious incident involving the assault of two students on campus this afternoon. The Hartford Courant has said they can't, to the best of their knowledge, this dude doesn't have a criminal history, and the allegations against him are inconsistent with his behavior both here and in California, but it seems like it might be kind of consistent with his behavior because... He wanted to stab someone, and then he did.
Yeah. I think it is pretty consistent with his behavior. Also, so he didn't stab people before,
no,
and he's stabbing people now, so it's not consistent with his behavior. Well, yeah, because you have to start stabbing people. If you're going to be stabbing people with your life,
right,
you'd have to start it at some point.
Yeah, and he wanted to start it here. Maybe he thought it was a free get out of jail. You know, we talk about Matthew Lillard and Scream all the time. Maybe he thought this is how you can do it. And perhaps he thought he was just going to win some acting award. But the irony is with acting, much like professional wrestling, you're not supposed to actually hurt him. It's supposed to look like you do. And that is why it's not real.
Also, no casting people are coming to the University of Hartford.
Oh.
Nobody knows what's happening there. You got to move to New York. You got to move to Los Angeles. And you got to be willing to take your top off.
Yep. Well, God knows I had to do that. I had a horrible audition where they cast me as a jock that played hockey. And I was in there with a lot of beefcakes. This is when I first got here. A lot of beefcakes. And those people know I lost 160 pounds. Gained about 30 of it back, but that's fine.
You did it on with cocaine and white wine spritzers.
I did it with the Subway diet. I can't say it was the Jared diet because he's a pedophile, but I did it with the Subway diet.
Yeah, you did the whole thing where you just burn calories wanting to fuck kids and not
be
able
to. No, I did not.
To.
Oh, right. You're a pervert. Anyway, I went into an audition. And you know what they had me to do? I mean, there were all these big muscular, like Triple H type people, Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And they said, take off your shirt, guys, and spin around. Yeah. And I took off my shirt and I spun around. And you know what they did? They clapped. Because they said. Because
you were brave?
Yeah, because I was so brave. And they're like, congratulations for losing all the weight as my body looked like a melted candle on day 4. And it was really devastating and it's still traumatizing. But you know what? That's acting, folks. That's the one thing.
You need to do?
Acting, that is it. These auditions suck.
You need to write a show called Trill 2 and then just put it all together. It's just you just being like, yeah, they call me big, but now I'm taking it out on society. And it's you knocking over mailboxes and grabbing like horse police. I want to go up. Speaking of horse police.
All right.
Never found anything like this. Dismembered horse found in disc golf course.
Oh, the old disc golf in Kansas City,
Missouri. One of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. Kansas City officials said they found pieces of a dismembered horse all over a disc golf course, which I didn't even know they still had those. I thought they only had those on colleges.
I thought disc golf courses were solely there as refuge for weed smokers.
That's what I used it for.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. I played disc golf one time, and I just kind of stopped halfway through and, just smoked a J and was like, it's nice to be out in nature. I don't know why we have to throw this frisbee, but...
But this shit's weird. Authorities said the remains were found near the Kessler Park's 17th hole. Never found anything like this, said Alan Ashurst, an illegal dumping investigator for the city. I mean, you better be careful if he ever comes by the studio, because I wonder if he can just declare any dumping to be illegal.
Hold on,
hold on.
His last name is Ashurst, and he's in charge of illegal dumping?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's still funny to me, damn it. It's still funny to me.
A man playing frisbee golf found the dismembered animal, which must have been fucking frightening for him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he shows up, he's got a soft hat on like he's one of the spin doctors.
Oh, yeah.
And then he discovered a severed head, two dismembered legs with the feet cut off, with the hooves separate.
Jeez.
A pile of organs, a rib cage completely cleaned of meat,
ooh,
and a spine. But what's concerning is that they found none of the rest of the horse.
Where's the rest of the horse?
It is in somebody's belly, or it's the salami I ate last week.
I know. And evidently, Marcus is also dabbling in horse meat. I don't know what the hell is going on with my friends. Everyone is changing, and at some point, it's going to lead to you to have some bizarre horse disease that we didn't know existed, but all of a sudden, everyone's getting hooves for hands and
horny horse disease,
whatever the heck it is.
Potentially, whoever may have dumped this animal may have used the rest of the meat for some other purposes that's unknown at this point in time. Thank you, James Donovan, animal control special investigator. Really cracked police work there.
There it is. I love it. So the horse was found on the 17th hole.
And Ashurst said, this is the one and only time I've ever been called to this location for any sort of dumping.
Oh, good for him. Well, what a day. What a day.
Wow.
You get the feeling.
It's a big day for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, like when you're a detective, you're working a homicide, you go home, you drink whiskey. I think Ashurst, who works in dumping, goes home, maybe drinks a Fernet. Something a little bit lighter. But also a port. A nice port. But something to, you know, kind of cure the demons that must be flying around his brain on a regular basis, given the hard life of a dumper.
And according to this article, normally when a horse dies, the owner will bury it on their land, but it can't be within 300 feet of any water source or neighbors. Rolling Acres Pet Cemetery said that rendering plants won't take horses from properties anymore because they are considered pets, and some are euthanized with chemicals and medications. Using a cemetery to cremate or bury a horse can cost anywhere from $750 to more than $3,000.
Woo.
It's very uncommon to come to a city park and discover these items being discarded. Not by normal means necessary, Donovan said again, who is just crushing it in this article.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty big story. It's been picked up by Kansas City Star, by KMBC Kansas City, by Fox 2 Now. I mean, this story is making the Kansas City waves here. And again, if you're going to be out there playing disc golf, you are on the front lines of dumping. And if you see anything dumped, you got to clear up that, take your Visine, get that red out of your eyes, because you need to be trustworthy and you need to be loyal. And the cops have to trust you that you're going to tell them the truth.
And if you don't dump all these horse parts, where do they go?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, that's the kind of the strain. Where are you supposed to put them if they're not, you know, taking, I don't know. According to Captain Tim Hernandez of the Kansas City Police Department, he said the horse had been field dressed for consumption after the meat was removed from the carcass, was placed in a barrel and dumped in the park. So somewhere, we just have to go find the person who's like super happy and full of horse meat, I guess.
Maybe we can do a thing, right? Because you know how they do the no questions asked gun returns?
Sure.
Or like the needle give outs, right? No questions asked.
No questions asked,
Can't there just be one free area of this country that's just called like Dump Town? Where you could go, like an entire city, where anybody who's got something to dump can put it all there, right? And then you can, people can for free come and take it, right? I don't know if it works like this. Where you can have a big free-range dump.
Uh-huh.
Where anybody who has anything extra, it can all go, and it goes to this one area, right? And it all just in this one big park. And then maybe what you could do is charge to pay for the rent of the space, you charge so people can go run around and look through it, like the way Marcus would.
Yeah, or maybe people are hungry and we have a lot of discarded food in this country, and maybe they could use it for their own consumption so they don't die of starvation. According to the dude who found it, he said it was disgusting. He said, I would have been mortified, God forbid, if it would have been on a Saturday or a Sunday and there would have been kids playing in the park and they would have seen that. He said, what was disturbing to me, I could only imagine if an 8 or 10-year-old child saw that. But I'm going to say this, if an 8 or 10-year-old saw that, I think they would love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's what they'd say. Because I remember when I found a bunch of chicken bones, I was like, there was a time period in New York where there was a massive influx of the Haitian community into my neighborhood. And I'd go to Forest Park in Queens, and there was a Voodoo site that was cleared out by the police, and they had police tape all around it. And the whole thing was soaked in blood, and there was chicken bodies all over
cool.
it. We were just like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, 8 to 10-year-olds would love it. Mm-hmm. It's really just the pansy-ass 30-year-olds that can't handle it.
Yeah.
Or you're over there, or you've just been fucking eating a bunch of edibles, and we're like, let's fucking do some ultimate today, bro. And then you go out there, and you got your B, and you got your fucking, you're ready to fucking swing that shit.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's just horse meat everywhere. You're gonna get freaked out. Let's care for the stoners.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And basically, I don't know, the investigation doesn't seem to be going very far. The biggest issue, according to one of the investigators, would be like, if it was determined that the horse was stolen, then they've got a real crime on their hands. But right now, again, looks like they just got a dumping. So, Kansas City, baby. Honestly, when these are your crime stories, things are actually going good.
Technically fine when this is the scariest thing that happens in your neighborhood.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it is, because I think Kansas City is pretty for real, real.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. I wouldn't mess with it. All right. Well, I think we're nearing the end here of this week's side stories. I guess just one thing. This is more of a PSA. This is a news story. A college student got into a car she thought was an Uber, but it was not, and she was found dead in a field. She was 21 years old. She got into a black Chevy Impala. Then she was found, I believe it was 90 miles away in the woods. Absolutely horrifying. So be sure to check the license plate on your Uber and your Lyft, because it is extremely scary. I've done this before where I've opened up a car door and
Take me where I'm going, man.
And some people in the car were visibly shook. But like, if I was a 21-year-old more petite person, yeah, I'd be like, oh, sorry about that. You're not an Uber. You have to be careful getting into these Uber. Make sure that it is your Uber, because I've heard about these stories have been going on for a long time. This whole trolling stuff. This is what serial killers do. I mean, Gary Ridgway would have probably been a fake Uber driver. I bet you he would have pulled a stunt like this.
Honestly, that is true. And same thing with, I think Ed Kemper probably would have been an Uber driver as well. You got to make sure that you are getting into a car. You got to check it. And also, when you're in the car, this is a big thing too. And I think Kessel knows this. Yeah, it's different for you. Don't fall asleep.
No.
Fall asleep in that car, because then they can do whatever they want to. They'll diddle with you. They'll go through your pockets. They'll take a picture. They'll pull their pants down to show their butt and put it next to your face and take a picture of it.
There was a story about 6 or 7 years ago. There was a sex trafficking ring in Queens where they were abducting young girls. They were in their early 20s, drugging them to the point where they were totally incapacitated. And it was like in somebody's attic, like in a small house in Queens, like. Anyway, the victim is Samantha Josephson. So that's very, very sad. So anyway, just be careful with those Ubers. Just make sure that they are indeed your ride home, not a monster that's going to hurt you.
Now, I have a good quote from a man of my stature that's important to remember. And I think it's good for Kissel and I remember, because we run a business. We're small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to remember, Napoleon says, I am sometimes a fox and sometimes a lion. The whole secret of government lies in knowing when to be the one or the other.
Napoleon, though, was actually relatively tall for that time period.
No, he was just my height.
But that was actually tall for that time period.
It was a normal height.
I don't even know where the Napoleon thing all came. Why did we make up this whole lie that he was super short?
It was propaganda to make fun of him.
Ah.
Because he was too busy crushing it, which is why when people come at me for my size, I know it's because they're just jealous of the fact that I shoot nothing but threes all day.
Yeah, that's what they say about you. And of course, this is a quote that another Ben Kissel quote here that I have told Henry before, but he didn't listen to me. So I'm going to tell him again, and I'm going to solidify it for all to hear. Success It's not about stressing for success. It's about striving for success. Don't stress for success. Strive for success.
You've never spent a day not stressed in your life.
No, I'm doing much better.
You're literally upset every single day when you wake up to when you go to sleep.
No, that's called striving for success. Life happens whether you're stressed out or not. It all just
is that when you're texting
around
me at 2 a.m. your time saying everything's falling apart?
That's what I'm stressing
people
for
at the
success
bar being like, tell me how to make it. Tell me how to make it. But it's important to remember to enjoy it while it lasts, man, because we only got this one fucking go around this sun, bro.
That's it. No, I honestly, I don't scream. I usually just look at sad messages and then anyway, don't stress for success. Strive.
Where
for
was that
success
going? Where was that going? That's my question. I saw Lords of Chaos last night. Finally,
really?
That was really good.
You know what I saw? Have you seen Us yet? We're not going to spoil it or anything, but have you seen Us yet?
I really liked Us.
I loved it.
I think that they put a lot of stuff in there, but I do think that there was all the action in it was fucking incredible.
Yeah, it was so fun, and I liked the way that they marbled in the humor in a much more intelligent, not that Lil Rel was amazing in Get Out, but
I don't know.
The humor
I
was
felt
kind
that
of in it. I thought it was very funny.
Personally, I felt that the humor in Get Out was more successful.
Really?
And in this, for me, it took me out sometimes.
Oh,
but
interesting.
But the film was gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful.
And Lupita Nyong'o
is
fucking killer movie.
Highly recommend it. And we'll talk about it, but we got to give you at least another. You have to see it within a month. You have 1 month. Otherwise, we're going to spoil it. But at some point, it's just going to be spoiled. So
I'd love to talk about it. It is such a, because there's a lot to unpack.
All right. So see Us. And let's see, any other movie recommend? Level 16 again. Greta's still great. But
Greta was wonderful. I just want to say thank you to everybody that reached out to me about how to get weed in Canada.
Oh.
I was only there in such a small period of time. And I literally just wandered into that illegal drug den that I went to, I knew was funky when I walked in because it was like still very old school and it did feel like going into an old timey saloon, which I loved and I miss it.
Yeah.
Because in Los Angeles, all the weed stores are so slick now.
I know.
Everything's very put together. It's very highly packaged, which I think is good for the industry.
Can I ask
because
this, though,
it makes it more legit.
When it comes to weed stores in LA, yes, I love them, but why why so much talking between the client and the person giving? I had to wait in line for 30 minutes, and there was one person in front of me and two people at the checkout. But the whole time, it was only three. I was the fourth person, and they just kept on talking and talking. I'm like, just get the weed and go.
I'll put it this way. People are excited.
Okay.
No matter what, I still haven't gotten over it. I still haven't go, and there's a lot of people that go into a weed store for the first time, and it's all of this, like, it's all, like, between the numbers of the grams, and then you see, like, shatter, you see all these, like, words that you don't know, and then you just saw it being like, I remember I used to get weed from a guy named Gronk.
Yeah.
That used to behind a dumpster. Do you have that weed? Like, those are people asking, people are asking those questions.
All right, it takes a little bit long. That's all I'm going to say.
But it does.
It is always great, and I wish I had my vape, but that's okay. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. I will say this. Hail yourself.
Live your life, because, again, it's your life. Mm-hmm. These fucking pieces of shit are going to try to take your life, and you laugh in their face, number one.
Yep.
And then maybe snick, snick, snick. Fucking give them a little bit of a stab.
No.
They're trying to take your life. You got to fight for your life. Every day you got to fight for that inch. Well, you got to fight and fight and fight.
But you also don't
every day
be...
you live like your fucking back's against the wall.
Well, but then you might be taking someone else's life, so that's... You want to leave them alone, you know.
Come for me, one for one, eye for an eye.
But what
all
if
right, I've read it, the Code of Hammurabi. That's the first ever legit set of rules. I don't know if that's true. I don't know what if I'm saying if any of that's true.
The code
I remember
of...
Code of Hammurabi from high school.
Hammurabi? Okay.
We had different. We did different levels of teachings in high school.
Yeah.
And love, because love is evil. backwards.
That's right. Evil. Yeah. All right, everyone. Yep. And again, thanks to everyone who came out to support our good friend Jason Sines here in New York City with Arlene's Grocery. And you guys had a nice event in Los Angeles. I don't know what, I mean, we had a great time. Evidently, Henry was, someone messaged Henry saying, like, are you going to make him cry like Ben did? I just gave a nice toast to Jason, and I guess people cried. I don't know. But,
yeah, that scared me when someone's like, you're going to make him cry like Kissel did? Well, I was like, what is Kissel doing?
I just said nice things.
Is he just going out there being like, you're not going to make it?
All right, everyone, hail yourselves. We'll talk to you
hail
soon.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Hey, kids, it's Danny Tamborelli, also known as Little Pete from The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
And this is Michael C. Marona, a.k.a. Big Pete from the same show.
And my name is Jeremy. I produce this podcast, The Adventures of Danny and Mike, on the Last Podcast Network.
Hey, JB, can you tell them what it's all about?
The Adventures of Danny and Mike is a weekly podcast with equal parts nostalgia, comedy, and surprises.
That's right.
So check us out on the Last Podcast Network.
The Last Podcast Network.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.